Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After minicamp ends on Thursday,
okay,
and I leave Berea,
do you go to your own cabin trip?
That,
where you just have a lot of booze and a lot of all sorts of illicit drugs and everything else.
No,
I don't think Nick does illicit drugs. By the way, we need to clear that up immediately. I'm gonna say right now, I think it's just booze, guys. I think we're okay.
Mentally,
about your sweet pippy boyo.
Oh, geez. Mentally, I go on vacation. So,
well, we know he, you know, ayahuasca is probably in the cards at some point, but he's got to be like 75 or so before he pulls that off. Mentally, you go on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
So mentally, this is, you just check out after this.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I get myself to early July, and then I take my typical 2 weeks back to back.
You go 2 weeks back to back?
Yes, I do. Because there's nothing else going on in mid-July.
You work hard. You earned it. I'm not gatekeeping your vacation. It's an interesting approach.
I work from.
Do you go anywhere in the 2 weeks, or you just want like a full 2 weeks to like just do nothing?
Yeah, just to reset mentally and physically and emotionally and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Ooh, man. Do you feel like you just like when you come back? Are you keeping track of things? You're like me, and what I appreciate about you is that you like to watch sporting events. Not everyone in this business likes to actually watch sporting events. I know you do, and we're the same way in that we just generally enjoy watching sports. Do you watch sports in this 2 week vacation?
I sometimes, but I do.
It's not like much is going on in the sports world.
The only thing that's going on is
it's just baseball games.
Yeah, it's All Star. You know, and then the period after All Star, it's the only time in calendar where nobody's.
Yesterday,
playing.
I found myself so bored. I was watching a wiffle ball championship on the Ocho. Mac knows. You watched that? You see that yesterday?
I see the highlights every now and then.
I was thinking to myself, is it cool or lame? The whole dream in life when you're 12 years old is to make it on ESPN. I imagine that was my dream. I don't know if you guys share that dream at all, but
it depends the reason why you're making it on ESPN. Well, so, let's be very clear about that.
So that's where I'm going with this. Is that like for the longest time it was just like just make it on ESPN,
maybe
make
it SportsCenter.
Well, I assumed it'd be playing for shortstop for the Cubs or something at that point in life, but it didn't work out that way. And then I became a pretty good bowler, and I'm like, all right, bowling on ESPN. It's not a bad way because they used to put a junior gold championships, which is something I've competed in. They used to put that on ESPN. So it was like, I was like, oh, okay, that'd be a great way to end up on ESPN at 17 years old. That's not horrible.
You have a better chance of making Shaqton a fool than you do the ESPN SportsCenter top 10.
Well, not even the top 10. I'm saying just in general, right? Like like 12 years old, that was the dream. It was like find a way on ESPN and we've done it in some sort of capacity. But like, imagine if you're some of these like 28-year-olds in the wiffle ball championship that was on ESPN yesterday and ESPN8. Is that like a, do you brag about that? Or is that the type of thing that when people see it, it's like, oh yeah, he was always really oddly into wiffle ball, wasn't he?
Depends on if you got a highlight or if you were just kind of there.
Is it bad if you're on ESPN, the Ocho, but you strike out in your wiffle ball appearance? Like if the guy just K's you in 3 pitches?
I think that might be worse.
You like tell your friends and family and everyone's tuned in and that's it? Like, do you even, is that even a Facebook post?
It's
like
I was on ESPN today. You don't want to be the last out. That's the key.
Isn't that in every sport? Like baseball, you don't want to be the last out. Wiffle ball, I would imagine, is the same thing.
Especially wiffle ball, you don't want to be the last out.
Hashtag analysis. Yes, thank you, Daryl.
Analysis.
So is it lame to be on ESPN for wiffle ball?
Is it professional wiffle ball?
I think these were pros.
Well, then, I mean, pro sports are pro sports, right?
It doesn't matter if they make less than a WNBA player does. It's like, it's still a pro sport.
I have friends that play softball locally, and they treat those games like it's game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, but softball.
I mean, they get hurt and everything.
In an odd way.
They're running out, diving. It's serious business.
In an odd way. And bananas and how everything associated with softball in general. But like, softball is way more manlier than wiffle ball.
Yeah.
Like, because you know, the guys that are on TV for softball are all, I mean, it's like steroid-induced, juiced up,
there's a reason
meatheads, just a bunch of meatballs out there, and they just crank the ball 700 feet. It's insane what they're able to do. Whereas in wiffle ball, there's really no way that they make that cool. There just isn't. I watched it. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be doing a celebrity wiffle ball game at All-Star Weekend, but they do do a celebrity softball game at All-Star Week.
One of my favorite events.
I will say I did see a highlight from over the weekend where the pitcher was trying to argue that a home run ball went foul, and he kept on saying, like, can we check it? And everybody's like, no, the clearest day went for a home
it's
run.
Obviously
what
gone.
Do they use for foul poles? Broomsticks?
No, they had a legitimate field with foul poles set up.
That's the thing. They make these really cool fields.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. It was almost like they had like a clubhouse in like out in left field beyond the wall.
That's the one in Oregon. I've seen that one.
Yeah.
It's insane. Well, and then they go to like these other sites that are like replicas of Wrigley and replicas of Fenway and all these other things.
Mention, yeah, you have these folks that they build like these replicas.
There's a place in Branson that has like five different featured actual stadiums. And they have Little League tournaments there, but they also do the wiffle ball stuff.
I wonder
if there's
someone in Northeast Ohio that has a replica Progressive Field in their backyard.
Not a great replica site in my mind. Although you do have a cool left field.
No, you've got the 19-foot wall. You
got a cool left field, but it's still like if I'm going to make a replica, I'll just make one of Fenway and then also put Pesky Pole in there, and it accomplishes the same things. Like Progressive is, it's Fenway, but Fenway is like the steroid version of it, right? Where the wall is higher at Fenway.
Well, the wall is also shorter
right
at Fenway.
Right field is also shorter in than what Progressive Field is. Like it says, like they do everything. Progressive tried to do everything that Fenway did. They just couldn't rip it off completely, so they made it like half as cool.
I love the fact that those dimensions have never changed in that ballpark. Unlike what the Orioles have done to Camden Yards, which, by the way, is one of the great baseball sins.
They changed it for what their team has. I don't begrug a team for that.
No, I did. If I got a bunch
of boppers, I'm moving my fence in 15 feet. Why not?
Yeah, no, they moved it back because no boppers.
Well, theirs was starting pitching, but like if I had a bunch of boppers, I'm changing it.
I got to give the Yankees credit. They moved a block down the street, same dimensions, and that thing is a sandbox that they play in New York.
I would change with it all the time. As much as Major League Baseball would let me change, I would change it.
Every year?
If they let me. If they were
I
like,
know the Tigers.
At some point, they would step in and be like, you can't do this as often as you're doing it. You're clearly just changing it to help out your own team, but I would take advantage of that all the time.
Yeah, I know the Tigers have played with their dimensions a couple times at Comerica. Remember the Astros, when they opened their park, they put the hill and a flagpole on the hill?
Which was one of the dumbest things ever approved by Major League Baseball.
Are you kidding me?
How is that awesome? They put a massive hill with an incline and a foul pole that was in fair territory, and you'd watch people try to run up this hill to make a catch.
That's how they used to play the game of baseball.
Are we playing American Gladiators or are we playing baseball?
I have a book at home, The History of Baseball Ballparks, and it just is basically every ballpark ever built way back in the day and all the intricate, unique things. Look. Flagpoles were in play. The old Yankee Stadium originally, the monuments used to be in play.
Which was dumb. It was dumb then, too.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it was dumb then. It's just unique.
No. I don't want a graveyard out in center field. Like, just give me a clean chance of making a catch.
And there's a double off the Babe Ruth tombstone in left center.
Yeah, Babe Ruth's were hits were two runs if you hit Babe Ruth on a fly.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? But maybe that, in wiffle ball, that's the thing.
That's what makes baseball great is every ballpark has its unique flavor and character, and it's not like those 70s ashtrays that teams used to play in. Now you got these ballparks, everyone's got their own dimensions and ballpark quirks and all that.
Like when you had the outfield pools out there for Miami and
yeah, and
Arizona.
A little splash down, right?
Fun fact, what was the first home run hit in Arizona's, and then it was Bank One Ballpark. Mark Grace is the answer there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, first splash down, yeah. You see, and you used to like think of those things, even like in
I mean,
in
the
San Francisco,
you hit in the their stadium for the you can swim and watch the Jaguars lose.
Yeah, I never understood that because I get it. You can swim and you can hang out and all that, but like, don't you want to watch the actual football game?
It's the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Fair rebuttal. It's fair rebuttal.
What Max said. Yeah. Well, and that's the way it's going with these stadiums. I mean, teams like the Guardians and that, they're taking out seats and replacing them with drink rails, and they're replacing them with gathering spaces
They love the drink rails with the Guardians. That's like a big hit with people Max Edge.
They are printing money off of the new spaces that they have created because that's the modern fan.
But that's more about turning these things into bars than they are fields, though.
100%.
That was the Rockies' big pitch so many years ago. Is we're going to be the first team to basically build a never-ending bar all the way around the field.
I mean, I'm surprised the Browns are putting 65,000 seats into this Brook Park Dome because, I'm surprised they haven't put more drink rails and stuff like that in it. There's going to be some. There's going to be, 2,500 standing room only or whatnot, but I thought they'd put more of that kind of thing into it because that's kind of... The Cavaliers took out a whole section of the upper deck in Rocket Arena to create a big bar up there.
And that one worked out really well, too. A lot of people liked that the same way they liked the Guardians version.
That
was a complete ripoff, but it was very well done.
People don't want chairs. They want to just hang out around like they're at the bar and be able to watch
games. Well, what they
like
about it is the $5 ticket to get in for the Cavs game when you do that.
No, those tickets don't cost $5 to stand.
Oh, no, some of them were. Some of them definitely were. I'm talking like the, I swear they did a couple $5
seats.
I swear they did like a couple like $5 promotions based off of that. Yeah,
way back in the day. Yeah,
yeah. And obviously not now when they're good, but same thing with the Guardians though. They aren't the Guardians tickets for their
those $6 seats.
Isn't that part of your like entrance pass pass in for your monthly club?
Yeah, the ballpark pass. It's standing room only for every home game, and it's $50
for the month.
Can't beat it.
That's a pretty good
deal.
It's
an exceptional
deal. It's a good deal.
It's an exceptional deal.
All I know is when I cover Guardian games and those gates open, like it is a mad rush to the corner.
Yeah.
The corner bar and the drink rails there and the drink rails down in the left field corner. Like for people to claim their spots.
Oh, yeah. I remember when the Guardians went on the playoff run in 2016, that was one of the things that people kept videoing over and over again. And I'd sit there and I'd watch and there would just be this mad dash to certain parts of the ballpark.
Yeah.
It's insane. All right. Good morning, football. They had thoughts on the Browns. Whether or not the Browns quarterback approach was a recipe for success.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Success. Here we go. This is the guys in the morning.
It's the strangest thing in the league right now. It's so strange. I mean, the Deshaun Watson piece alone is strange. I don't even know when he gets a clean bill of health. Does he suit up? I don't think he's ever putting on a uniform again. Like, he is on the roster. He's highly paid. The owner publicly disavowed him. That's just one piece that's weird. I'm not sure why they drafted Shedeur Sanders. And I know, well, fifth round, that's a quality pick. But you already drafted a rookie quarterback. You already traded for Pickett. Kevin Stefanski is this great coach who everybody respects, and yet this is a really, really strange group. And I'll say this again, is Shedeur making the team? Is he going to be on the practice squad? Is Flacco staying with the team? There's so many questions, and the idea that let's just try them all, I don't know. I've never seen this before, and typically when you see something you've never seen before, it doesn't work out that well.
You were laughing along the entire time.
There's really
clearly
was.
A lot there that you enjoyed.
I have said all offseason, we have entered the throw stuff against the wall and say your prayers that something finally sticks portion of the program.
Well, it's what it is. It starts at a dartboard. More chances you take at it, the more likelihood that you're going to have something that does, in fact, actually hit.
Yep. Shedeur's going to make the team because you're not getting him through the waiver wire. Joe Flacco, I think, is going to be the guy that's going to be the odd man out. They'll probably trade him when there's an injury somewhere around the league at the quarterback position and someone needs a guy, because they seem to really like themselves some Kenny Pickett. My personal preference is Joe Flacco starts week one, Shador's the number two quarterback, and that's what you roll with.
I like that as well.
What I would do. I'm not sold on the Kenny Pickett thing. I'm not, Dylan Gabriel. I'll say this, and this is totally unfair of me to say, but you're going to love it because you're the Shashil for Shedeur.
It's so rude. Shashil is so rude.
But it's also accurate. Shedeur has passed, in my mind, Dylan Gabriel on my depth chart. To me, I think Shedeur is the number three quarterback, and Dylan Gabriel's the number four, and that's just my eyeball test in OTAs, and I say that realizing that it's completely unfair because it's OTAs.
Not unfair. So the point is, though...
told you.
I didn't deny it. I just think the accusation is a little harsh is all.
Shea, boom!
There we go. That's what we like.
I prefer Shashil.
Do people think that the Browns are doing this dart at a dartboard thing that we just discussed? Because I
think it's brilliant. Considering where they're at, this is a brilliant approach.
The problem with that is I feel like people like Kyle Brandt and other people are suggesting that we're doing this as if this is like guaranteed to give us an answer. If you give four, one of them is going to come out above. No, if you have four quarterbacks and you don't think too highly of any of them, more likely than not, none of them are going to materialize in your franchise quarterback. That's the reality of it all. But I don't think the Browns are banking on that. Like, the actual thing the Browns are banking on, Daryl, is the idea that you have two first round picks in next year's draft. That's the bet. That's what you're banking on. You're not banking on Shedeur, as much as I like him, to end up being the savior. You're not banking on Joe Flacco at 40 years old to come in there and save the day. You're betting on the idea that the two first round picks will take care of it. And then you're just really in this point, just seeing if you can find some different way to actually approach a quarterback situation.
Well, the jackpot scenario for the Browns is as follows. Shedeur Sanders, they figure out internally he's their guy. However that materializes in playing time this season on the field, I'm setting that aside.
For sure.
And then they can take those two first round picks next year and do things to help.
Right, but nobody thinks that's the plan that they're banking on, though. And I feel like in that clip, it was almost insinuating like this is the foolproof plan. One of the four of them, we'll just throw four quarterbacks out there and one of them is going to take over and be awesome. And it's like, that's not their line of thinking at all in this. I think we need to remind people consistently that cannot be their line of thinking. 216-474-0092 is the Browns quarterback approach, a recipe for success. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your tweets as well. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. Frank Schwab, I love him. I think he's great. I think he's absolutely fantastic when it comes to, you know his lane that I think he's great at? Is honestly, I think nobody does previews in the NFL better than Frank Schwab. It's an odd compliment to give him, but I think like his NFL previews are awesome. So he came out today with his four quarterbacks for the Browns and the expectation he has of each one and the chances they have of starting in week one, okay? What percentage chance do you think he gave Joe Flacco?
Are we going 100% for all four quarterbacks total?
It's going to equal up 100%.
Okay. All right.
So it's like a pie, okay? It's a four-piece pie.
I just want to make sure my maths. That's all.
No, very fair, because I feel like in years past, I would have just been like, just throw numbers out at me, Daryl.
I'm doing my math right. Okay. I think I got my math. Okay.
Are you good at math?
Not really.
Okay. That might be a problem then.
This could get really bad for me.
Don't worry. It's a fun pastime of mine being like, Nick, that doesn't add up to 100. Or Nick, that doesn't. It's a fun pastime for me. So, all right, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to say he gave Flacco 40%.
Okay. No, but what do you think he gave Pickett?
25%.
Okay. What do you think he gave Gabriel?
10%.
Okay. So hold on now. So what do you think he gave Shador?
25%.
Okay. So you have Shador higher than Dylan Gabriel by a good percentage.
Yeah, I said that last segment.
No, you said you thought he was better, but
I told you as the Shishil, you would be totally thrilled to learn that I've leapfrogged him on the
depth. This is kind of like the Cavs discussion though, where you can have your thoughts are very different than what you think they would actually do. Like that's my.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to go with my thoughts, because I think my thoughts are more important than what I think they're going to do.
Schwab at 50% for Flacco, 40% for Pickett, 9% for Dylan Gabriel, which left 1% for Shador Sanders starting week one.
He gave him just 1%?
He gave him 1%, and the basis of this was the idea that he's like, how many fourth quarterbacks on the depth chart have you seen climb up and be the number one quarterback by the time everything and all the dust settles? And it's like, well, hold on, that's not really how we're doing this here. We're not really doing that off the basis. Now, would I be surprised if Shador starts week one? Yes, I would. Do I think Shador is going to start, I don't know, somewhere after the first, I don't know, six or seven games?
Right.
Yeah, probably. I think that's going to probably end up being the case. I think it'll go Joe Flacco, like you said last segment. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it'll be Joe Flacco out of the gate. I think he's going to get bloodied up by the fact that the schedule early on really is tough, and then I think it's going to be Shador Sanders. And Colin Cowherd on his show earlier today, he believes something similar is going to happen as well. Here we go.
Shador Sanders has two things going for him. And don't kid yourself, this is how the league works. The owner of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Haslam, is really impulsive. And in a quarterback room with zero star power, except Shador Sanders, he's going to get a chance. He is desperate to be recognized and for star power. The second thing Shador has going for it is Cleveland's roster is the weakest easily in the division, and the early schedule is brutal. So you think old Joe Flacco, dull Kenny Pickett, small Dylan Gabriel, when the team's getting beat 33-17. So my prediction, you start looking at that schedule between week 7 and 10, Shador Sanders is going to get a shot here. Shador's on this roster because Jimmy Haslam wanted him on the roster. But I'm going to make a prediction here. Haslam is starving for a star quarterback. So this is a team that's going to be boring offensively. You know what will make him not boring? Shador Sanders taking snaps, win or lose.
So I wanted your input on that part in particular, and I agree with a lot of what Colin had to say, but the idea that Jimmy Haslam himself is going to be the one to step in and almost give Shador the opportunity after Flacco gets beat around like a pinata in the first few weeks.
Shador's on the roster because they saw him available in the fifth round, and they said, why not? That's why he's here. Not because Jimmy Haslam went to Andrew Berry and said, go make it happen. Because they were all sitting in the room.
But can you bank on the idea that Haslam won't all of a sudden, if you start 1-5, 0-6, will be like, hey, wait, this isn't fun or exciting anymore.
So
I want to see Shador Sanders play. Let's boost up the energy around this team.
So here is why Colin Cowherd, who I have a lot of respect for, can say what he said. It's because of what they did with Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. Okay, there was nobody in that building outside of the people selling the jerseys in the team shop and the owner that were like, hey, playing Johnny Manziel is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's bench Brian Hoyer, who's the consummate pro, for a kid who doesn't care to learn the playbook and doesn't come to the building ready to work every day.
So you think Colin's just adopting the playbook that we've seen before?
Correct.
He's just taking the Johnny Manziel playbook and attaching it to Shador Sanders.
Because to be honest with you, what can we sit here and say that ownership has demonstrated to us that they've learned their lesson from past poor decisions?
I mean, how can I sit here and tell you that they have learned anything?
That's the point I'm making.
But not, especially since the Deshaun Watson deal and everything associated with that. Like, this is a man, we know he likes to meddle. We know he likes to be involved.
Right.
And listen, he pays a lot of money. He can be as involved as he wants to be. But the point is, it would not surprise me if week 7, week 8, that's exactly how this thing went down.
And I'm not disputing that. I'm just pointing out.
And it's something I want to see, by the way, too. Like, I'm in the camp
of course, you're the Shishil.
Yeah, exactly right. If this is how this goes down, thank you. You made my Christmas. This is going to be a good time.
I think you should just embrace the Shishil, okay?
And don't look at it as insulting.
Don't fight it. Embrace it.
It's just a celebration.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll get there. I'm sure we'll get there.
You know what? By the time the weekend hits, I will have talked you into the Shishil.
Whoa. I'm not going to get bullied the way that
I'm not bullying
the way that you were in with me during the draft, during the combine experience.
And you guys right hammered me into picking Travis Hunter.
You spent a couple days with me. No.
Really?
You spent
a couple like days it when with the me. Tables get turned,
all
do you?
All of a sudden, you were talking glowingly about Shedeur Sanders after that week.
Uh-huh.
And then I leave you, and then you go back on Monday, and it was like you had like 1 or 2 days of being like, all right, we like Shedeur, we like Cam
not
Ward.
Not in the first round.
And then all of a sudden it turned, no, you did at that point.
I love Shedeur in the fifth round. I'm all for it. Why not?
In the fifth round.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Will the quarterback race be clear by the time we talk to yourself on Friday when it comes to Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett? And
the
Shishil
has more coming up next on The Fan.
No, that was asking you a question. That was not asking them a question. That was asking you. After these 3 days that you see the quarterbacks out there, are you going to feel like we're going to have an actual imprint on this? Or am I going to come in here carnival barking every single day?
Probably not. Because here's the reality. They're not tackling. They're not in pads. And until they get to that point, I'll be honest with you.
Okay, but you know what does happen, though, and you know this being a veteran reporter.
We're going to speculate till we're blue in the face.
Not us speculating. Get veterans around these guys. Veterans, loose lips sink ships. What happens when veterans are around and all these 10-year, 8-year, 9-year vets are around? They talk to everybody.
Hey, well, Joel Petonio spilled the tea on the offense.
Yep, we're gonna find out. We'll find out everything we need to know about Shedeur and Dylan and everyone else over these next 3 days, because these veterans love to chat. They do. They just talk to everybody, including people like yourself.
You want to know when this whole competition is really going to separate itself?
When's that?
When they get on the field with the Panthers and the Eagles not the preseason, but during training camp when they do the joint practices. That's when stuff gets real, because last season, last training camp, when we saw the Eagles, they didn't physically slap around Deshaun Watson, but they slapped around Deshaun Watson. That's when we knew it was going to go bad. And guess what? It went bad.
What are the Steelers expecting from Aaron Rodgers? Mike DeFabo covers the Steelers for The Athletic. He'll join us next right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.